Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Pandita Jagannanda, the sixth branch of the Chaitanya tree, was celebrated as the life and soul of the Lord. He is known to have been an incarnation of Satyabhama, one of the chief queens of Lord Krishna. Purport. There are many dealings of Jagannanda Pandit of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Most importantly, he was the Lord's constant companion and especially took part in all the pastimes of the Lord in the houses of Srivas Pandit and Chandrasekhar Acharya. Omegyana Tumarandasya Ginanjana Shilakaya Chakshum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so in this portion of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is being explained about Jagannanda, a very wonderful associate of Lord Chaitanya, and this is explained here. He is known to have been an incarnation of Satyabhama. So, Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, one literature explains who the different personalities of Lord Chaitanya's Leela, all of his associates, who they are in Krishna Leela. So, Krishna has his queens in Dwaraka, and the queens have different moods. So, Rukmini, for example, she's very demure, very submissive, and whatever the Lord's desire is, she'll carry that out. Satyabhama, she's considered a leftish queen, meaning that she can be very fiery and very much in the mood of trying to impose her will upon the Lord. And it's interesting because you see that parallel also in the past, in the interactions between Jagannanda Pandit and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's very wonderful pastimes that take place, and we'll just read maybe one or two, we'll go through that. It is also very wonderful the term that's used here, that this personality, Jagannanda Pandit, in this verse it says, was celebrated as the life and soul of the Lord. It's interesting because Jagannanda Pandit is Satyabhama. Satyabhama is an incarnation of Radharani. Like that. So, our teachings are replete with the science of rasa. And the entire teaching is thoroughly personal. Thoroughly personal. There is a misconception in the modern world that if you're spiritual or religious, or godly, that you're all the same type of person. Right? So, you religious people, you have this idea. But within the realm of spirituality, there is unlimited variety. And actually, it is only when someone becomes truly spiritual that their real personality comes through. Because our science is personal, our spiritual culture is personal, the more that someone practices Krishna consciousness properly, the more personal they actually become. The more we actually come to understand ourselves deeply and thoroughly, both even in the conditioned sense, what to speak of in the transcendental sense, ultimately when we realize our identity. So devotees should always be striving to be personal. And we see that personalism thoroughly enacted in practically every single pastime of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya in this place is also responding to a statement by Vikeshra Pandit. This is in verse number 19, I'll just read just to give context. So Vikeshra Pandit, he's asking the Lord, actually he fell at the feet of the Lord, and he says, O Chandramukha, please give me 10,000 Gandharvas, let them sing as I dance, and then I will be greatly happy. When I was looking at this, I was reading somewhere that Vikeshra Pandit, he can dance for days. I think someone said up to 72 hours. How's that for a kirtan? So, what are these pastimes and what are the points which are being brought out here? One of the most wonderful pastimes in the house of Srivas Pandit, because in the purple it says that Jagannanda Pandit was present in all of the pastimes that took place in the house of Srivas Thakur. So Srivas Thakur lost his own son. Lord Chaitanya was engaged in kirtan, he was singing, well, he was dancing and singing, obviously. And Srivas Thakur discovered that his son had passed away. But he did not want to stop the kirtan. So Lord Chaitanya found out afterwards that this had happened while the kirtan had been going on, and he shed tears to consider the depth of the love that this devotee had for him. And Jagannanda Pandit was present when this particular nocturnal pastime was taking place. We also know, I'll just read you some of the different interactions that Jagannanda Pandit personally had with the Lord and the Lord's response. Okay, so let's see. So there are many ways in which Jagannanda Pandit will try to arrange for the Lord's comfort. And as many ways as he will try to arrange for the Lord's comfort, the Lord will not accept the arrangement. And so there would be very different interactions. This is from, let's see, we'll read from, this is Chaitanya Charitamrita Anti Leela, chapter 13 summary. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the following summary of the 13th chapter in his Amrita Pravaha Vyasa. Thinking Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be uncomfortable sleeping on bark of plantain leaves, Jagadananda made a pillow and quilt for him. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai. Jai Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Jai Sri Gauri Thai Guru Parampara Srila Prabhupada and Sosi Maharani ki jai. Thinking Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be uncomfortable sleeping on bark of plantain trees, Jagadananda made a pillow and quilt for him. The Lord, however, did not accept them. Then Swarup Damodar Goswami made another pillow and quilt from finely shredded plantain leaves, and after strongly objecting, the Lord accepted them. With the permission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagadananda Pandit went to Vrindavan, where he discussed many devotional subjects with Sanatan Goswami. So here, this was one arrangement that Jagannanda Pandit would make for the Lord, to try and arrange for his comfort. But of course we understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas. So as a strict renunciate, he wanted to set the example. In Shastra sometimes he's described as sannyas shiromani, right? The crest jewel of all sannyasis. So he was acting as the emblem and the standard of all sannyas. But at the same time, we know that Jagadananda has this mood. Because he is such a Brahma, he wants to arrange for the comfort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this Leela takes place between the arrangement and the Lord. What can we bring out from this understanding? This can help us to understand that the most important thing in a devotee's life is their motive. Right? To be honest, it's very easy to be superficial in devotional service. It's easy because we have conditioning. Therefore, what we like tends to be what we value. Right? Also, what we value tends to be what we can do. Right? And therefore, the emblem of advancement is often whatever our conditioned nature is into. It's interesting. Jiva Goswami, he would work out the nature of people. He actually instructed his leaders that if you want to work out the varna of an individual, he said, you could ask them why they came to Krishna consciousness. Right? If a person explained that they came out of distress, the tendency would be that they were Shudras. And if it was understood that they came to Krishna consciousness out of desire to accumulate, you know, some wealth, right? They were Vaishyas. Right? If they came out of curiosity, usually they're Kshatriyas. And if they came out of knowledge, the tendency is, the likelihood would be that they were Brahmanas. Mm? So he would instruct his leaders, when you just ask them why they came. Mm? Because they have a conditioned value system. Mm? But it's not actually ultimately about the knowledge. It's not ultimately about the control or influence. It is not about the money. It is not about the security. It is simply about the devotion. Mm? And we have a conditioned nature which is like an instrument through which we engage in devotional service. But we should not get superficial. It is about the devotion. Mm? The sincerity of devotion. That is the most powerful thing, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not require the external service of any living entity. Right? In many senses, we have to remember we're like children. You know, like it's if it's Mother's Day, so you go to school, the teacher gives you the card, the pens, you write, you give it to your mother. But practically speaking, you didn't buy any of these things. They were never yours in the first place. We're simply offering back that which we've been given. Mm? But it's being accepted because it's being offered back with devotion. Mm? I know in my own life, the best experiences of Krishna consciousness have been when we've tried to sincerely do something with devotion for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the motive is the key thing. Mm? If we do things with devotion, and even if the external arrangement is not so expert, Krishna himself will eventually put things into place. Mm? That is how we see the miracles unfolding in our own spiritual life. So it seemed, in many cases, when Jagannanda Pandit would arrange something, Lord Chaitanya would not accept, but Lord Chaitanya always accepted from Jagannanda Pandit. Because Jagannanda Pandit was always trying to serve the Lord sincerely with devotion. Mm-hmm. So the essential thing is, we should have that mood. When I'm doing something, try to internally offer it to the Lord. You can do that with a simple prayer. Please, Lord, please allow me to do this for your pleasure. Please, we beg you to accept my devotional service. In one place, Prabhupada explains that the translation of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra means, dear Lord, please accept me. Hmm? If the Lord accepts the service, he's accepting the individual who is rendering service. So, ultimately, our entire practice, it is a very, very, very intimate exchange. It's a very intimate and personal exchange between each and every devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it becomes more intimate the more that there is devotion there. Hmm? We have to always remember this. Because if we don't, we will judge each other by materialistic standards. and we will fail to take opportunities to really grow. Our movement can expand unlimitedly. This area of Chaitanya Charitamrita talks about the different branches of the Chaitanya family. This ISKCON movement is also a branch of the Chaitanya Leela. It is actually Lord Chaitanya's own pastimes as is being enacted by the Senapati Bhakta, which means the commander-in-chief of Lord Chaitanya's own army. So Prabhupada is an intimate associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So through Prabhupada, he's actually extended the invitation to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So this Sankirtan movement is an extension of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And just as there is an invitation extended to the pastime, there is also an invitation to enter into the community and the family of Lord Chaitanya as well. And that invitation is given to the practicing devotee. The invitation is given to the practicing devotee to enter into that community, and they are given an invitation by which they can also extend and offer that opportunity to other people. That is the meaning of the Sankirtan Yajna. If we want to be empowered, we simply have to reflect upon the extraordinary opportunity that we are being given at every single moment. What you value is what you protect. And what you appreciate, what you can understand the quality of, that is what you value. So therefore, Prabhupada has given us these literatures so that we can understand what we have. Because a natural result of understanding what we have is that we will value it, we will take it seriously, and we will deeply imbibe it. So at every moment of every single day, we have an opportunity to increase our devotion. In every single respect, every single interaction is an opportunity to increase our devotion. There is not one moment in creation where you do not have an opportunity to become more dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because motive is important, then also these aspects of the internal mood become important. It's like when people speak, there is the speech in terms of the content. There is the speech in terms of the motive, and there is the speech in terms of the mood. Right? We all have experience. Someone's telling you something, what they're saying is completely correct, but you don't appreciate what they're saying because the mood and the motive is wrong. Isn't it? Right? So Bhava Grahi Janadana, Krishna accepts the essence of a devotee's service. Because we may have come from the material world and we have materialistic standards, that's one thing. But we can't project that materialistic standard on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His standard is not materialistic. He is infinitely deep. And that is our great fortune. That is our great fortune. Because even as practitioner devotees or practicing devotees, there are different levels of practice. And as we practice deeply, we go to deeper and deeper levels of Krishna consciousness. So a devotee practices devotional service on the conscious level. They hear something, they understand something, we're trying to serve very deeply, we're trying to serve very sincerely, we're trying to offer something to the Lord. There is a deeper level of consciousness, which is like an unconscious level, where there may be all kinds of other anattas, right? And we know that they come up over time. So when you first begin, it's the usahamayi phase, right? You know, this is quite good. I'm feeling quite blissful. I'm probably a prema bhakta already, but I just haven't quite realized it yet. You know, I reckon I'll probably hit prema in about 5 minutes. 10 of the stretch, right? Like that. Maybe 15 if I have to stop for prasadam. Okay. And then you start to see as you practice, it's not quite that simple, right? Because the unconscious level of anatta start to come up. We start to see, oh my God, I didn't quite realize this was in the heart. But that conscious practice actually has a big impact upon those things which are also beneath the surface. So with understanding, we keep going, we keep working. They come up, we let them go by devotional service. In particular, we overcome anattas by also holding more strongly to our dependence on Guru Sadhu Shastra. And by connecting in a higher way, by developing a higher taste, then we're able to let go of or shed those lower things. Now, as a devotee practices even more deeply, they come to what's called the primordial level of consciousness. And at that primordial level, we come face to face with our original envy of Krishna. Where we actually confront the fact that, actually, to be honest, I have this strong, it's unfortunate, I don't want to have it, but there is this basic anatta, this envy of Krishna. Why does he have to be worshipped? You know, why everyone has to pay attention to him? What about me? I can hold a flute. It doesn't seem like it's such a big deal. What's the problem? We dig deep, we come to these things, and we ultimately shed them. So our process is an extremely exciting adventure in self-discovery. But that adventure only takes place if we're honest. And actually also, that adventure only takes place in good association. Because we need to shed. You understand? That means we need to be able to have association where we can openly and honestly talk about, work through these different things that come up. So actually, even though the ultimate shelter is Krishna, also we are shelter for each other. So there is an extreme need for us as devotees to develop a real mood of family and community. And the more that we develop a real mood of deep family and community, the more that everyone will accelerate in their devotion. We were giving class yesterday morning, and we were explaining how we all have a date with destiny, various appointments in our diary that we have no idea of, because we're not fully aware of everything we've done in previous lives. So we don't know what challenges are facing us or will come in the future. Paralleling that, we don't know all of the deep kinds of anattas or conditioning that we have. They come up at different times. So we are not fully aware of these things, but what can we do? What we have the power to do is to fight Maya from a position of strength. Different challenges will come in our life at different times. But we can deal with these different challenges from a position of strength. So what we can do is we, through good association, spiritual association, and through enthusiastically working on ourselves, we can be the best version of ourselves whenever one of the challenges of the material energy hits us. Do you understand? So things will happen. Challenges will come. But what condition were you in when the challenge came? Do you understand the point? There's a difference between you being wide awake, let's say 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's an emergency. You're already alert, you're awake, there's an emergency, you're not busy, you've got time, you've got space, you've got all the resources, you deal with the emergency. Right? There's a difference between it being 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you find that there's a small fire in your kitchen. Right? You get some water, you put it out, it's gone. Now, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're asleep and that fire is taking place in the kitchen, you're in trouble. So, it's not necessarily just the karma that's there, but it's how we... It's the position from which we deal with that particular karmic challenge. So the devotee is meant to be always alert. Alert means spiritually sharp. And to be spiritually sharp, we need to continue to keep ourselves in the best possible spiritual condition. And that comes through enlivening each other. As Krishna says, Machita Matkata Prana Bodhyanta Parasparam Katayantischa Tusyanticha Ramanticha. Oh, Kafiyantischa Mamnityam Tusyanticha Ramanticha. The devotees are always enlivening each other about Krishna. The more that we encourage and strengthen others, the more that we will be encouraged and strengthened ourselves. And it goes very, very, very deep. Even thinking well of other devotees will empower the person who does so. So we know that we have different challenges. I'll give an example. There was one devotee who was going to get initiated, right? Everything seemed to be going through for initiation. And it was arranged that they were going to go somewhere for initiation. And guess what? It's just so happened that this devotee's grandmother has passed away. And the day that they were due to get initiated, or due to go away for initiation, that's the day when the memorial is going to be held for the grandmother, so they can't go. And the initiation was going to be abroad. So now they can't go for that initiation. Right? Amazing. I mean, it falls smack bang on that particular day. Very interesting. So you may see, and this is something to be aware of, when you push the material energy, when you try and push, she pushes back. And Maya is extremely strong. So what do you do when you have opposition like that? We don't really fight Maya. In one sense we do, in another sense we don't. In another sense we take shelter of Krishna, because he's the only one strong enough to fight Maya. What can happen in a devotee's life is that they can take shelter of their so-called own strength. But your strength will run out, because you're never going to have the strength of Maya. Because actually, she's getting her strength from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see, that's the trick. She's strong enough to fight because her strength's coming from Krishna. She's a pure devotee. She knows what's going on. Right? So she's always being empowered by Krishna to test the living entity. But she wants you to pass the test. So then the intelligent thing is to copy what Maya does. You should also take shelter of Krishna. Okay, you're the one telling her how to block me. Okay, so you tell me how to get around the blocks that you're telling her to pull in my life. You understand? That's intelligent. Right? It's like chess. You know, there's someone playing both sides. Right? Okay, Krishna, you have told her to move this piece in this way. I don't know how I'm going to get out of that maneuver. But because you're telling her what to do, you can also explain to me how to counter that particular move. This is how the game unfolds, ladies and gentlemen. This is how the game unfolds, and it goes throughout our life, and we leave this world and go back to Godhead. It actually has a rasa to it. If you remember that behind all the tests and challenges is a loving personality who wants you to be successful and to pass all the tests. You understand? It actually has a rasa to it, if we simply remember these points. As so-called difficult as life is, the person who's giving the difficulties or who's arranging the tests, he ultimately is doing it for our own well-being. He wants us to succeed. So Maya has a boss. And our job is to take continuous shelter, deeper shelter, of that same Supreme Personality of Godhead. And part of that taking shelter is to be enthusiastic. There are these things which are favorable for devotional service. Endeavoring with confidence. Giving up bad association. There are so many aspects which are given in the Shastra. We should do these things enthusiastically. In fact, we should do these things with our life and soul. It's very, very important for a devotee to remain inspired and enthusiastic in spiritual life. Because to the extent that we don't feel inspired and enthusiastic, to that extent Maya will come in and try and pull us away or deviate us from the path of devotion. Sometimes we get it confused. Because within the Shastra it talks about, the pure devotees in their statements, they often speak about themselves as being lower than the worm in stool, right, like that. So many comments which seem to suggest, to outsiders at least, low self-esteem. But it's like a canvas. Like you have these wonderful pictures in the temple room. For the pure devotee, the smaller that they see themselves, the bigger Krishna comes into the picture. The canvas is always full. You understand? So when the devotees consider themselves very small, it's because they're seeing more and more of Krishna. You understand? So it's not just that they're small and then the rest of the canvas is empty. Right? It's that I'm insignificant, but Krishna is very great. And their focus is on Krishna. That means the absorption is in the greatness of this person who wants me to be successful and who is encouraging me in my loving devotional exchange with him. It's not just I'm insignificant. So the difference between humility and low self-esteem is that when there is humility, there's enthusiasm. So spiritual humility means Krishna becomes bigger. I'm small because Krishna is so great. I'm insignificant in comparison or contrast to him. So it's still exciting. Right? I'm still enthusiastic. I still want to go closer to Krishna. When there's low self-esteem, it's like the painting, but there's just that one small speck, which is called me, and the rest of the picture is blank. I'm so small. Oh dear. There's a big difference. So when there's humility, there's excitement and enthusiasm. When there's low self-esteem, people become stagnant. Because how exciting can you be when you're so small and then that's the end of the story? What's the catalyst for moving forward? So we become smaller because we recognize that Krishna is everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. That Krishna is everything. But to recognize that, that's rare. Sura Mahatma Sudralabaha. Such a person who recognizes that is very rare. But it's very practical to recognize that. Because if you practice devotional service, what will you see? You will see that by your surrendering to Krishna, things will happen to you that are actually outside of your control, isn't it? You know, there's instances arranged and you think, you actually couldn't arrange that. You needed something, it just came. There was some information you needed, it was arranged for you. You found out something that you needed to find out at the time. Who's arranging that? If we're simply conscious, you understand that this must be Krishna who's arranging this. Krishna is so kind that he's actually reciprocating with each and every single devotee according to their degree of surrender. And surrender breeds surrender. Because if you're conscious and you're alert, you see, he's so kind, he's taking such good care of us, that you then want to do more. So you surrender more. And because you surrender more, he's going to reciprocate even more. And that will be even more wonderful. And therefore you feel inspired to surrender more. And this just goes on and on and on and on. But that cycle requires the individual to be conscious. Because otherwise, Krishna's taking care of you and you don't even recognize it. A fine point in this area is to be conscious and thankful or appreciative of the external difficulties as well as the external so-called direct assistance. Right? We may think, oh, Krishna's so kind when you get what you want. But how much do you thank Krishna when he gives you something that you actually didn't want? But something that you actually need. I don't know about you, but I've seen my own spiritual life that sometimes I want something and I just don't get it. I tried so hard. It just doesn't, no matter, I tried one way, it didn't come. I tried something else, it did not, I tried, you know, different ways, I got help, it still didn't come. He gave me something completely different, I'm like, I didn't really want that. And it's arranged later on, Christian helps me to understand later on, yeah, you didn't want it, but it's actually good for you, so I'm going to give it to you anyway. This is the difference between demigod worship and when we and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, they're obliged. You do the puja properly, they're obliged to give you whatever that you've done, whatever you've acted for. But it may not actually be good for you. So the extent of love is someone who knows you better than you know yourself, and who's going to give, who's prepared to perform that thankless task, because it is a thankless task, of giving you something that's actually better for you than what you're asking for. And it's a thankless task like that. So this is actually how we practice Krishna consciousness. It is that awareness. And that ability, if we're actually becoming transcendental, transcendental means the ability to say thank you to Krishna in every single circumstance without fail. Right? Krishna gives you fame. Thank you, Krishna. I don't deserve this, but you're giving this to me to encourage you, me in my devotional service. Krishna makes you completely infamous. Right? No one's pleased with your behavior. Thank you, Krishna. You're helping me not to get a big head by keeping me humble. Krishna gives you facility. Thank you, Krishna. This is your facility. You allow me to use this facility in devotional service. Krishna takes your facility away. Thank you, Krishna. You're helping me to learn to have a simple mentality, a simple life, and to not claim proprietorship. If we keep that mentality throughout our spiritual life, we will always be able to be enthusiastic. It is a darshan. It's a way of seeing the world, but it's something that is meant to be practiced now. Because when the crisis hits, it's harder to see things that way. Does that make sense? If you practice it now, when things happen, you're already prepared. Right? Krishna is often like that. He'll give you a heads up. Right? You had that experience? He sends one devotee, Prabhu, you know what? I think you need to work on this. You know, maybe not like that. It's nice. I don't really know this devotee so well. I'm not sure if this devotee knows me so well. I leave a little footnote in my mind to carry on. He sends another devotee, Prabhu, you know, I was thinking that if you worked on this point, you could really do well. Don't take it so seriously. Like that. Then he sends another person, Prabhu, you know, I've been watching you for some time and you seem to need to work on this. After a certain point, how many times do you need to be told the same thing? Think about it. Krishna will give us again and again a heads up. I'm about to give you a test in this particular area. You need to work on this because the test is going to come. Through the association of the devotees, we can understand. We can get a deeper understanding of what we need to do to progress. And it's a living transmission. At different stages in our spiritual life, different guidance comes through guru, through sadhu, through shastra. And we're very lucky because we have these books. If the material world is like a classroom, these books, these purples by Srila Prabhupada, this is the answer book. So practically, the way to pass every single test that the material energy can throw at you is given in the pages of Prabhupada's books. This is a manifestation of the compassion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that compassion is actually amplified and extended by the pure devotees of the Lord. Shastra says the pure devotees are considered more compassionate than the Lord Himself. They're more merciful than the Lord Himself. And they can also intercede on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There was a pastime in Prabhupada's when Prabhupada was physically on the planet of one devotee who committed suicide. Yeah? So, technically, it's considered sinful to take your own life. Right? But Prabhupada prayed, he actually cried. First we explain how this person, even though he had some kind of, you know, mental issues, he cried that we had not been able to, as a community, provide proper shelter to this particular person. And then Prabhupada prayed to Krishna, please let this soul immediately take birth again in the family of devotees in order to continue their spiritual progress. This brings out another understanding for us. It's more important to be compassionate than to be correct. This is very, very important. It is more important to be compassionate than to be correct. Of course, compassion doesn't mean sentiment. Compassion doesn't mean we don't address things. But the mood of compassion, that means whatever is done for the best of everyone. That is essential for our spiritual progress. Because yayataman prapadyante means that Krishna is accepting and reciprocating with the nature of our service as well as the degree of surrender. So it becomes extremely, excuse me, it becomes extremely personal. Every single one of us, not just when we are fully self-realized, but from the day that we start practicing devotional service, we have a personal relationship and a personal reciprocation with the Lord. Every single one of us without fail. And we need each other because what is easy for one individual is actually extremely difficult for another. Because of our different experiences and different lives, one person, they may have mastered a certain thing very, very easily. Right? Like you see that. Some devotees, their regulation is easy, isn't it? They're just so regulated. I know one person, before he became a devotee, he was in the army. Right? He had that kind of military training. He just, you know, wakes up at a certain time, it's just standard. Right? It's like a kind of programming. But for someone else, that's extremely difficult. For some devotees, they really gel with other devotees. They like to associate. There are some devotees, they love being by themselves, isn't it? Right? They just, you know, I accept the whole thing about a devotee community, but to be honest, if I had my way, give me a good book, right? I can sit down all day with one Chaitanya Charitamrita, I can just read and it's no problem at all. And the headache for them comes in the association. It's like, oh, these people. It's like, it's just because, you know, it's very difficult. So we all have our unique conditioning. Huh? It is like that. Therefore, you'll find that you're strong in an area where someone else is weak. But that's not a problem because when we come together, there's a wholeness to it. We can share and encourage and infuse and inspire each other. This is the meaning of Sankirtan. We can't do it by ourselves. However you want to look at it, we actually need each other. We actually need each other. We are ultimately family. And it won't change. Right? The people in this room, you look around this room, the people that you're seeing in this room, these are your family. And in many cases, we've known each other even in previous lives. In many cases. We are actually a transcendental family. And it's a very, very wonderful family at that also. There's a letter, it's really interesting, that Prabhupada writes to one of his disciples. He says, actually, I do not recruit devotees or disciples. He says, I simply recruit so many masters and train them in the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was indicating that these people have been devotees previously. I simply recruit so many masters. Like that. So we want to get the mercy of the devotees. That means we need the merciful kindness and guidance that comes from each other. We need to please the devotees. Because this is where our strength is coming from. The devotees are extremely rare. The people who come to Krishna consciousness, they are extremely rare. And there's always something very, very special about that particular person. Even if there's certain things that they do which do rub us up the wrong way, isn't it? That's part of the process. That's part of the process of refining us as individuals. We all have that. We all find that. Some things people do we really like, other things that they do we don't really appreciate so much. But it's still family. And if we have this family model, then like with these pastimes, even if there's something going on, even if externally there's some disagreement, at a deeper level there's always unity. At a deeper level there's always unity. One other point on this is that for this growth to take place, we need like-minded association. There's this kind of impersonal idea that you have to be very close to everyone. You have to be friendly with everyone and appreciate all devotees. But the Shastra says, Swajati. Like that, Prabhupada speaks about this. First Canto, chapter 29, text number 17. In the purport there, Prabhupada speaks about this, Swajati. Swajati doesn't mean people who just agree with you. Swajati means like-minded. But in a deep sense, they can understand. They can understand what you're dealing with, how you are in devotional life. Because we are personal. Very, very, very personal. And in this way, we will find that shelter. If you notice in these pastimes, the devotees are able to interact with Lord Chaitanya in this way because they're very close. And it's not a superficial closeness. There's unity and there is diversity. That means, like for community, there has to be diversity to get things done, but there has to be unity, meaning there has to be some common ground. Some common understanding, so there can be some rasa in the exchange. It's a real science. So we're friendly, we inspire each other, everyone. We have loving dealings and loving exchanges with each other. But particularly when it comes to very, very deep exchanges of the heart, it's important to try to find those people who you can honestly and openly exchange with, who you feel comfortable having that exchange with, and who can help you to grow. So your Swajati peers, juniors and seniors can also be there. And in that way, we will feel the shelter that comes in the devotional community. As we said, this community is part of the extension of Lord Chaitanya's own Leela. Prabhupada said that this movement will go down in history as being the movement that saved the entire world. That means that what you are doing now is contributing to the transformation of the entire world history. It's taking the history of humankind in a different direction. Every time that we're serving, every time that we are working on ourselves, every time that we are associating properly, we're actually rewriting the history of human civilization. Because to rewrite history, you have to change the karma. And the only thing powerful enough to change the karma is the Sankirtan Leela. Prabhupada said that there should have been a Third World War, but because of the book distribution, it was averted. And who knows how many other things have been averted due to the activities that have been performed by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. It's a very audacious mission. But it's a very, very wonderful mission. So if we remember to be thankful to Krishna, no matter what comes into our lives, if we remember to take shelter of each other and not to try to fight Maya by our own strength, if we can remember to always be in the mood of considering ourselves the servant of the servant, we will do really well. Maybe one last point on this. So we see that with Jagadananda Pandit, for example, there was one pastime where he brought oil to massage the Lord. And again, Lord Chaitanya, he didn't even accept it. It's just one thing after another. It's like, how am I going to accept you massaging, you know, this like scented, you know, oil to massage me? I'm a sannyasi, you know? And you're bringing, and Jagadananda became so angry, he broke the pot like that, you know? And Lord Chaitanya is a little bit scared of Jagadananda Pandit, you know, so he allowed Jagadananda Pandit to cook for him, and Jagadananda Pandit was pacified. It was like, you know, a little bit on the fiery side, you have to kind of treat them carefully. But it's interesting that this kind of intimate reciprocation is there. You will not find this in any other religion. Because even the understanding that the Lord has such a personality is not there, it's completely absent. Everything Jagadananda Pandit was doing was done in service. Now what's very interesting for us is that if we approach every single situation in the mood of service, you actually affect the way that the situation unfolds. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the heart. And he's making arrangements. When I was reading for this pastime, because Jagadananda Pandit is Satyabhama, I was reading how Satyabhama's father, King Satrajit, he actually was inspired by the Supersoul within the heart to offer his daughter to Krishna in marriage. And I was thinking that this is a point. We don't see how much Krishna is instrumental in what's going on in our lives. So he's also seeing what we need by what's going on in our consciousness. So if the mood is of service, that is the pure and natural blueprint of consciousness. That is the original form of consciousness. Right? The original mentality is this das anudas. Therefore, the more that we practice this and the more that we approach every situation in that mood of service, the more auspicious the situation becomes. And the more spiritual credit you gain from every single situation. So this is the point. The question is, how much mercy can you handle? There was a seminar I was listening to on Chanakya's Niti Shastra. And Chanakya says, everything unnatural is an enemy. Right? And I was just trying to think of principles to live by. And I was understanding that, so if that principle is there, because these Shastras are based upon Dharma Shastras and so on, so it's based upon scripture. But if that principle is there, then the more natural you are, the more things will go well. And the more you kind of deviate from a natural situation, the more difficult your life becomes, right? So in a similar vein, the original form of consciousness is the servant of the servant. So the more you move away from that, the more difficult your life becomes, right? The more you approach a situation moving away from the mood of a servant, the less you get from that situation devotionally, right? Again, it doesn't mean that externally you should be sentimental. You deal appropriately with the situation, but the internal mood is das anudas. I'm simply a servant. And the question is, what does Krishna want me to do in this situation? And you reciprocate accordingly. And that will give maximal spiritual blessings from every single situation that we come across. There is a science of acceleration. There's a science of how to get the most from our Krishna consciousness. The question is, how much mercy can we handle? How much do you want to make progress? How much do you want to experience that reciprocation that is always available from the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And to the extent that we align with the devotional mentality, to that extent you can guarantee, you can absolutely guarantee that you will gain the most in this devotional endeavor. Okay, so we'll stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Janita Gopram Nandi, Hari Hari Bol. Any questions or comments?